own rule that three men are three women to me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard. If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Angioplasty is a multi-billion dollar business, and the New England Journal of Medicine has a new study which says many of those procedures may not have been needed. Drugs would have been just as good.
Millions of Americans with less serious heart disease choose artery-opening angioplasties, believing they can prevent further damage.
85% of all procedures done in the United States today are done electively on patients with stable coronary artery disease.
But these lower-risk patients would do just as well with medications along with lifestyle changes, says Dr. William Bowden, lead author of a large New England Journal of Medicine study. Surgery is always an option later, he says, but in this study, two-thirds of the less critical patients on medical therapy never needed an angioplasty. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Aspirin is good for you. If you're a woman, at least. The study wasn't about men. 80,000 women over 24 years were studied, and Dr. Andrew Chen at Harvard Medical said
there was a reduction in death from cardiovascular disease, both deaths related to coronary heart disease and deaths related to stroke, as well as deaths from cancer.
Now, should women pop a couple of aspirins each day? Maybe. But check with your doctor first. A family tragedy of some kind is unfolding in Frederick, Maryland. This a breaking story. Four children, ages 2 to 9, have been found dead, along with their father. Police are not giving us the cause of death for the children. The father was found hanging there. Anna Nicole Smith died accidentally from a cocktail of prescription drugs in her system. Kind of like Elvis. 9 drugs in her case. Chief Charlie Tiger, the Seminole Police.
We are convinced, based on the extensive review of the evidence, that this case is an accidental overdose with no other criminal elements present.
The medical examiner says none of the drugs alone would have killed her, but together it was a lethal combination. The U.S. military has found nothing criminal in the friendly fire death of Army Ranger Pat Tillman, but they say it was not handled properly.
Though the Army found no criminal wrongdoing in the death of Pat Tillman, an investigation did turn up a series of errors in reporting the incident.
Basically, they made a decision to hold the information, and we say that that was a violation of regulation.
But Acting Pentagon Inspector General Thomas Gimbel said it did not appear to be a conspiracy aimed at preventing embarrassment over the death of the former NFL player by friendly fire.
I think there was a series of mistakes made. We never saw that there was any attempt to cover up.
He said the Army will determine disciplinary reactions, if any, for the 9 officers involved. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
A cashier at Romania's state-owned railway is dead. She has to be. The government said so. And when she applied for a passport, they told her she couldn't have one because she'd been dead more than 2 years. Now, even though there she stood in front of them, she was told to fork over a month's pay to get the record cleared up. Wall Street, the Dow down about 12 points today. The Nasdaq gained nearly 7 points. And oil at $62.91 a barrel, up 63 cents. This is CBS News.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, are you all right? First thing my buddies asked was, how's the car?
Get more for your money. Visit Progressive.com or your local independent agent. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Casualty and Direct Insurance Companies and their affiliates. Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in over 50 locations nationally. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hello, America. It's time to play Take On Orbits, the travel game where you could save $100 on your next hotel stay. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbits.com during the Plan Your Escape hotel sale and save $100 on 5 nights at select hotels nearly anywhere in the world. So if work is wearing you out or your neighbors are driving you nutty, plan your escape and pick your hotel right now at Orbits.com.
Save $100 off 5 plus nights on select hotels. Valid for travel May 1st through December 20th. Book by April 30th, 2007. See site for terms and conditions.
The man who tried to enter the Senate office building today, armed, was no kind of threat.
Senator Jim Webb's office says it was inadvertent that one of the senator's staffers and longtime friends tried to bring a loaded gun into a Senate office building. Capitol Police arrested Philip Thompson, who, like Webb, is a former Marine, when the X-ray machine at the door showed his bag had a loaded pistol and two full ammunition clips. Webb is a freshman Democrat from Virginia, just across the Potomac River, where it is legal to carry guns around. But it is against the law in Washington, D.C., and especially frowned upon inside the heavily guarded Capitol complex. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Wisconsin's Natural Resources Department plans to get rid of some willow trees along the Mazomene Nude Beach along the Wisconsin River. The idea is to cut down on some areas available for public canoodling and other stuff. The naturists who've used that section of riverbank for years say good idea. Most of those nighttime lovers, they say, are interlopers anyway. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
All right, everyone who enjoys the buying a used car experience, raise your hand. Thought so. Uncertainty does come to mind, but not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. They're given a thorough 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. So relax, it may be used, but it's still a Honda. And that's the next best thing to know.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Lost and found. How may I help you?
Well, I seem to be lost. I was hoping you could find me.
Find you? You're joking, right?
No, really.
Well, I'm sorry. This is Lost and Found, not Search and Rescue. What you need is a Garmin Nuvi GPS.
A Nuvi?
Yeah. You'd have all the street maps. You could look up addresses, services, you name it. Then follow the voice prompts right to the door.
Continue southeast to destination.
Gosh, I wish I had a Garmin right now.
So do I. Bye now.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. We'll take you there.
Collins.
Oh, yeah. Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls.
That's right.
Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a Monday edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We've got 3 hours to talk about important issues of the day. And I can already tell that we won't have time to discuss the shocking findings in the autopsy of Anna Nicole Smith. Just not enough room for that. And all the pretrial skirmishing in the Phil Spector trial, Mr. Wall of Sound. Sorry, no room for that either. But we do have room to talk about the health care forum attended by most of the Democratic presidential candidates in Las Vegas over the weekend. Karen Davenport from the Center for American Progress will join us in about a half hour. We do have time to talk about the showdown with Iran, the gunboat diplomacy they're using there at the north end of the Persian Gulf. Professor Faraday Farhi from the University of Hawaii will join us next hour. And then closer to home here on the left coast, we're going to talk about the important court ruling in favor of fish over water. Bill Jennings from the California Sport Fishing Protection Alliance will talk about the important ruling from a California judge on Friday, saying that the state water project is wantonly slaying fish. And they'd like him to put a stop to it. As usual, our third and final hour reserved for your phone calls in the free speech zone. But you can call before then, too. We pay for the call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And 24-7, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And if you have a suggestion for your guest, a topic, or you just want to comment on the show, address it to our producer, Katrina, at peterbcollins.com. Every week at this time, we kick off the show with a representative from Media Matters for America. Their powerful website's available to you at MediaMatters.org. And Paul Waldman drew duty today. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good. How are you? Although I have to say, Peter, I'm a little disappointed that we're not going to be talking about Anna Nicole Smith.
The shocking findings of the autopsy?
Yeah. Maybe it's just too shocking.
Well, I'm sure some of the other programs that you guest on are taking that one to town, along with the phony controversy over John Elizabeth Edwards' announcement of her health situation.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, a lot of that distraction going on these days. And I don't have a TV here at the studio office. I feel most days that's a benefit. But I do understand they've gone wall-to-wall on the Anna Nicole thing. Can you confirm that with your wall of monitors there?
I can. And it's surprising that they managed to milk this story for I don't know how many weeks it's been now, and they're still talking about it. It's really remarkable.
Well, it kind of takes me back to the Chevy Chase days on Saturday Night Live when he did Weekend Update and used to intone that Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead.
Right.
And maybe we need updates like that on Anna Nicole. But let's talk about more important things. First up, your colleague JMO, Jameson Foser, writes a weekly column at Media Matters. And I think he hit pay dirt with his recent column published on Friday, because I have been watching the media coverage of the Gonzalez U.S. attorney firing scandal. And most people focus on the politics of it. A lot of people have been distracted by the president's own comment about partisan Democrats who want to waste time on this. But nobody seems to be able to come up with the four-letter word that starts with L. And the biggest reason that Alberto Gonzalez is in trouble, in my view, is that he lied to the United States Senate. And likewise, as JMO points out, Karl Rove has a history of lying. And so for the president to say, take it or leave it, you can interview him at Starbucks, but, you know, no transcript, no oath, and no follow-ups, to a guy with a history of prevarication, the media is just too polite to talk about it.
I think so, and there's a larger reluctance to, especially with politicians and presidents, to actually come out and say those words that the president lied. That's been something that's been a problem, I think, not for a long time. Not that they should be using it, you know, with, in a manner that's not judicious, but there are some times when you know that someone in public life has actually lied, and this is one of them. And it's not even the first time Gonzalez has lied. I mean, there have been other instances of testimony of his that he later sent letters back to the committees saying that, well, you know, what I told you wasn't really the case, and here's my clarification. It seems like every time he's opened his mouth on this subject in the last couple of weeks, we find out a couple days later that what he said was not true. And so it would seem to behoove the Congress to get him under oath and all the other people. Because, you know, as you said, Rove is someone who has many times lied to the media about what he did in the Valerie Plame case. He had to testify in front of that grand jury, I think, four times.
It was five.
In order for them to sort of pin down what his story was.
Five times.
There you go. And he told reporters that he was not one of the leakers when in fact he was. He lied to Scott McClellan, the White House spokesperson, about that, and told him that he wasn't one of the leakers when in fact he was. But you may recall, of course, that President Bush said at the time that anyone who was involved in that leak would be summarily fired. Scooter Libby resigned, but Rove is still working in the White House. So, the idea that there's something that somehow it's going to be acceptable for Karl Rove to talk to Congress without raising his right hand and being put in legal jeopardy if he doesn't tell the truth, I think it's absolutely reasonable for Democrats to be outraged about that. And this idea that, well, you know, they're just not really doing the work that people elect them to do, I don't think that's true at all. People, one of the prime reasons that Democrats won the last election was that people wanted some measure of oversight. It's certainly not the case, I think, that people are pining for some kind of return to the Clinton years when they held hearings on the White House Christmas list, which is not an exaggeration. They did, in fact, hold hearings on the White House Christmas list.
Yeah.
But Congress's job is to perform oversight. There's this kind of feeling amongst the press corps like, this is just a distraction and Democrats are going to get in political trouble. That's what we're hearing from a lot of the pundits, that, this is going to just be politically bad for them. Well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. I don't see much particular evidence of that. But Congress does have a responsibility to investigate the executive branch and to investigate when they think there's some kind of wrongdoing. And there appears very possible that there has been wrongdoing here. So it's not unreasonable for them to ask for testimony. And furthermore, dozens of Clinton administration White House staffers went before Congress and testified under oath. The administration and its defenders are acting as though this is something really unprecedented, that, Bush can just claim executive privilege and then no one should have to testify. But there were something like 42 different occasions during the Clinton years on which White House staff testified before Congress on their activities. And maybe that was excessive and maybe it wasn't, but the idea that in a case like this, when you have some very questionable things going on, to get people up to testify, there's absolutely doesn't seem like there's anything inappropriate about that at all.
We're talking with Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org. And, Paul, just in time, the Republican standard bearer for truth, honesty, and ethics has been rehabilitated and is on TV promoting his new book.
Lest there be no doubt, you don't only go over after your fellow conservatives. Yes,
this is Tom DeLay you're going to hear.
For Democrats, including Bill Clinton. The truth is that Bill Clinton was slimy. Rumors of his vile language, you write, ill treatment of workers and general slovenliness arose from the stewards on Air Force One, from the staff at Camp David, and from White House personnel. You don't like this guy at all, do you?
It's not a matter of liking him. It's a matter of pointing out that he is character challenged. We all know that.
Oh.
Anybody that cheats at golf, it tells you a lot about his character.
Is it?
And anybody who plays golf with Jack Abramoff in Scotland, though, and lies about it, that's okay, Tom DeLay. You know, Paul, I was stunned because he first appeared, at least to my knowledge, on Hardball last week with Chris Matthews. And Matthews did, in a roundabout way, reference Tom's problems with the law in Texas, but didn't describe why he left office and the manner in which he did it, and permitted him to make more of these broadside attacks, and actually turned to Tom DeLay for advice on the honesty of Alberto Gonzalez and the politics of the Bush administration. It's just amazing.
It is amazing, and Tom DeLay was out of sight for a couple of months, and now he's written this book and come back and is being treated as though he's just some sort of an expert on American politics. You know, last week we looked around and documented five different cases in which he had done interviews on national television, and only one of those did anyone mention the fact that he is under indictment for money laundering and conspiracy. You know, he presided over an extraordinarily corrupt Republican Congress, and it's almost as though all that has just sort of been wiped clean, and they want him to, you know, come on and comment on the presidential race and on what's going on at Capitol Hill. And it seldom gets mentioned you know, frankly, Tom DeLay was involved in corruption up to his eyeballs, and we'll see whether he may end up going to jail for it. But you would think that would be something that people who are interviewing him as some sort of a sage might want to bring up.
The other thing that I see, and this is just from observation, clearly I haven't talked to CNN producers or MSNBC producers, but DeLay appears solo, and that is typically a negotiated ground rule setup. And for the media to routinely permit this guy, who is slippery and who has the past that you just accurately described, to let him on by himself, never challenge him, and never bring a progressive on to state the obvious or even things more nuanced, it just shows how imbalanced the media is, and that they're more interested in chasing people who are notorious because they have done these things and simply because they have high name recognition, and they hope that'll jack their ratings up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that Tom DeLay would not agree to go on opposite some Democrat, because there'd be a possibility that Democrat would turn to him and say, wait a second, aren't you under indictment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is it that you're talking about Bill Clinton's character when there were allegations, for instance, that he bribed another member of Congress?
Well, in the very book that he is plugging, he goes to the confessional, not to James Dobson, but just to the American public, and says that he was a philanderer when he first came to Washington. So where does he get off criticizing Bill Clinton for his philandering?
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. But, you know, Tom DeLay was part of the establishment for a long time, and in some ways he's still part of that establishment. But we'll see what happens if that changes, you know, if and when he ends up going to jail.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and return. We've got Rush Limbaugh in our sights, and if there's time, we'll also take a look at, the war on Gore, his appearance on Capitol Hill last week. We're talking with Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org. Visit their website. It's a powerful piece of work, and it's updated daily because we need it. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment is entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Darling, you could pass the time, could you entertain?
Yeah, there's a lot of that BS on your TV. Some of it leaks into your radio, too. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking about media and why media matters. Paul Waldman's with us today from MediaMatters.org. And, Paul, up next, I've got the clip here, and we'll play it in a second. Al Gore came up to Capitol Hill last week to talk about the planet having a fever. I thought it was a very effective metaphor to help those who are scientifically challenged or just who openly choose denial, like our guest on Friday, Myron E. Bell from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And despite the presentation that he made that I find rather compelling, most people wanted to talk about his weight and Barbara Boxer's interchange with Senator Inhofe.
Yeah, that's true. I have to say, there's been no presidential candidate, probably in the last 40 years, who was savaged by the media the way that Al Gore was in 2000.
The lockbox.
I think that in deciding whether or not he was going to run for president again in 2004 and 2008, I can't help but think that one of the things that has run through Al Gore's mind is, if I go back into politics in that way, in electoral politics, they're going to do it to me all over again. He was the victim of so many smears of things that reporters said about him that just weren't true. You know, my favorite example is the idea that Al Gore claimed to have invented the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard that. It was in literally thousands of news stories. But the fact is, he never actually said that. What he said was that when he was in the Congress, he took the lead in the creation of the Internet, the role that Congress did. And in fact, he was an extraordinary visionary in that area. He was the sponsor of the first bill that really expanded funding for the Internet when it was just a little network linking a couple of universities. He was the one who sponsored the bill that allowed commerce over the Internet, which obviously was an extraordinary advance. He worked on that issue for many years, and he was the prime mover in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But he never said he invented anything. Yet that appeared in story after story after story as evidence that, well, you know, he's just a dishonest guy and an exaggerator.
Yeah.
And we still see that today in the coverage of him. I think that he probably understands that it's going to be very difficult for him to have a future in electoral politics if he wants to run again, because he's going to get the same treatment. And what happened last week, I think, is evidence of that.
And let's see how he was slimed on the Scarborough Country Show on MSNBC.
Terry Holt, why do conservatives dislike Al Gore so much?
Well, what makes the criticism so effective about Al Gore is that Al Gore himself generates the problem. It's not that he's just a hypocrite, and he is, but he's a braggart. I mean, he's claimed to
have
invented the Internet, among many other things. He claimed to have discovered the environmental problems that exist today, when in fact he himself uses more energy in 1 month at his house in Tennessee than most people use an entire year at their house. The pristine grounds of Al Gore's house in Tennessee are backed up on the other side of the mountain by a zinc mine that his family has leased for some 30 years to a mining company.
Hi, everybody. The big guy is back. Al Gore took center stage on Capitol Hill testifying.
They led with the fat joke.
Of his ongoing global warming crusade. Mike Allen, now you're a political correspondent. My question about Big Al, he weighs in.
Jeez. I mean, I can't take any more of this. And I'm waiting for the Ann Coulter joke about, did he swallow Michael Moore?
Yeah, it's really extraordinary. And it's the same old stuff that gets trotted out every time he shows up. And you know, I think that you have to acknowledge that he's been prescient on a lot of things. You know, in 2002, for instance, he came out strongly against the Iraq War and gave a speech in which he said that it was a terrible idea and that the Bush administration wasn't being honest. And what was the reaction? Well, all these conservative pundits came out and said that he was crazy. Charles Krauthammer, who's a nationally syndicated columnist, a former psychiatrist, made a crack about how, he must be off his lithium because he was saying that the Bush administration wasn't telling us the truth about Iraq. Well, you know, who turned out to be crazy? I think that he knows that every time he appears, he's going to get this kind of treatment from the media, because they still have, not just the conservatives, but even the mainstream reporters, still have a contempt for him that's really unmatched for the way they feel about any other politician.
Yeah, and just true to form, the way it occurred on both Scarborough and on Fox, when we had Myron and Bell on Friday, because they send us a press release three times a week from the so-called Competitive Enterprise Institute. So finally, I said, let's get this guy on and just see what he has to say. And he was into the Gore's family heating bills about 6 minutes into the piece. And I had asked him to comment on Gore's presentation, and you know, whether he believes that global warming is a crisis. And what he wanted to talk about was what kind of car he drives, that he flies on private jets. And I told him, I said, you know, you can continue to use these talking points. They undermine your credibility, sir. And he paused for a second, but there's no shame there. You could just tell. Paul, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Paul Waldman, Media Matters.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's time to start talking about the 2008 presidential elections. Here, Monday nights between 10 and 11 p.m. with your host, me, Todd Hurlbert, Alan Vasquez, and our show, The Week in Politics. We will talk about and talk with the Democratic and Republican candidates for the presidential election. Please join us in our effort to educate our audience about the issues. See you there.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Watch me now. We're going to violate the Vegas rule this half hour. You know the Vegas rule, right? What happens in Vegas is supposed to stay in Vegas. But on Saturday, Sin City was the host to a healthcare forum co-sponsored by SEIU, the Service Employees Union, and the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to get the lowdown on what happened in Vegas on Saturday. Karen Davenport is Director of Health Policy at the Center for American Progress. Previously, she served as Washington Director for the Medicare Rights Center. Also was at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, a leading foundation that funds healthcare initiatives. And she also was a legislative assistant to Senator Bob Kerry a few years back. She joins us now from Washington. Karen, thanks for talking with us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, did you actually get to go to Vegas, or did John Podesta draw the line and say, you get to watch on the web?
Oh, no, I was definitely there in Vegas. I was, however, backstage, so I was involved. We had a really great feature where people were able to post real-time questions through the Internet, so I was picking those out and putting those up on the screen.
And some of those questions were actually asked and answered by the forum?
Oh, yes. I think every candidate had at least one Internet question that was asked and answered.
So good.
As far as we know, that's the first time that that's happened in a presidential forum.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, hopefully some of our listeners participated because Faz Shakir is a regular on our show on Thursdays, and we mentioned it last week.
Great.
And I got several email reminders. But I actually wasn't available in real time when it happened because of my own concessions to a healthy life. I go to a yoga class on Saturday morning and try to improve my performance.
Excellent.
Anyway, I wanted to kind of work backwards. I have in front of me a fairly lengthy article from the New York Times on Sunday, which you may have had a chance to peruse,
mm-hmm.
About the event. And I wanted to work backwards because my two favorite participants got very short shrift from the Times. One, Mike Gravel, the longest of the long shot candidates. He's a former senator from Alaska. And I like Mike. He's been on our show many times. He's promoting a national initiative process to try to give average citizens more of a role in our government process. And he calls for a universal single-payer plan. Now, did you find him credible, and does he answer the right questions about how to pay for it and how it would work?
Well, he talked about a single-payer plan, and he particularly talked about how that might be run in a couple of interesting ways. One is using vouchers more than health insurance. And the second was to have it run by a board kind of like the Federal Reserve. And I would say that question, that issue in particular is of interest to the Center for American Progress because we've been mulling around, you know, how could we make better decisions in health care and pull that out of the political process in some ways and have been thinking about a Federal Reserve kind of model, too. I think that Mr. Gravel, Senator Gravel, was really sorry about that. That was the vacuum cleaner trying to come in.
We are after hours at the center, I understand.
Yeah, it was, you know, because I think the idea of a national initiative on health reform as well as kind of the principle of a national initiative in general is such a central part of his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
His, you know, sort of question and answer session was a little different from some of the other candidates, but was certainly really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and then next to last, they mentioned Dennis Kucinich. They gave him a paragraph and a quote. Among the candidates at the forum, Dennis J. Kucinich of Ohio offered the most sweeping proposal to create a universal, single-payer, not-for-profit health care system providing Medicare for all. And he got a quote, health care is a right, not a privilege. Now, I really believe that, you know, the ranking in this story is backwards because it focuses on the alleged media darlings, the front runners first. And at this stage of the process, I'd really like to see, you know, weight given to the issues. And love him or hate him, Dennis Kucinich has a detailed, universal, single-payer health care proposal. And I think he deserves more attention for it.
Well, you know, not to bash the New York Times or anything, but I think, if I remember the article right, they also kind of went a bit in order. And I, you know, would want to make that clear that the order that the candidate spoke in was the order in which they accepted our invitation to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that might in part reflect how the Times reported on the story, too.
Okay, but you also understand that, you know, I think Bill Richardson is a credible candidate. But to my knowledge, he doesn't have a detailed proposal. Barack Obama acknowledges that he doesn't have a detailed proposal. He's working on it, and he'll get back to us. And that's fair. Mm-hmm. He's quoted here saying, you know, gosh, my campaign's only 8 weeks old. But here's Kucinich, who has a piece of legislation that's already been introduced, and the Times mentions him next to last, and as I pointed out, gave him very short shrift.
Well, and I think the conversation with Representative Kucinich was interesting. There was a student who asked a question about, you know, how health care costs, and particularly, you know, sort of how we put together our health care system, how that's impacting our global competitiveness in the world. And, you know, I think there were some interesting parts of that discussion that didn't make it into the Times.
Mm-hmm.
But if people want to see it, they could certainly see it either on the Center for American Progress Fund Action Fund website, or the Kaiser Family Foundation will have a webcast up as well.
Okay, and which link? Because CAP has so many websites.
AmericanProgressAction.org, I believe, is where you can see it. But
okay.
It may also be up on thinkprogress.org.
Okay, all right. We'll collect them all.
Great.
Okay. Then Christopher Dodd, Senator from Connecticut, who I do not connect to health care as an issue. He seemed to talk more about his experience as you know, a Senate insider, a guy who knows how to make the machinery work. Is that a fair perception, as the Times reported?
Well, I think he also talked about his experience working on health care in the Senate, which is a little bit of the insider piece, too. But he certainly talked about children's health and about some of the, now he sits on the, this is insider-ish, the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, and has chaired a subcommittee that deals with a lot of children's issues for a long time. So his remarks, I think, really reflected his experience, and at times he was talking about programs that are certainly related to children's health, but not quite on point with health coverage for all. Like, I think at one point he was talking about Head Start, for example, which is a really valuable program.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were also kind of talking about universal coverage for everyone. But I think he has a long record on a range of health care, and that probably had a lot to the sweep of his presentation.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're talking with Karen Davenport. She's Director of Health Policy at the Center for American Progress. We're talking about Saturday's forum with most of the presidential candidates. You got all the Democrats, and you invited all the Republicans, and how many of those showed up?
Unfortunately, none of the Republicans showed up. We were, you know, really hoping to get some of them there. Some of them are, in fact, talking about have a record on health care. Governor Romney, for example, with the Massachusetts Health Plan, and Governor Huckabee from Arizona actually did some really interesting stuff, particularly around wellness and obesity. So we were disappointed that they weren't there. It was, you know, part of the reason that we were doing this, and we really wanted what happened in Vegas to leave Vegas, is we think that this is, you know, one of the top issues, and should be one of the top issues for the 2008 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would be great to have the Republicans telling us where they stand on it.
Yeah. All right. So tell us what Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, former energy secretary, former UN ambassador, what did he have to say about health care?
Well, he floated some interesting ideas. I don't know if you could call it a plan altogether, but he certainly has some policies that he's talking about and that would be interesting for people to think of. For example, enabling individuals and businesses to buy into the plan that federal employees currently have, the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program, and also for people who are age 55 to 64 to be able to buy into Medicare. So I guess I'd say, you know, kind of his principles around that are using what's out there now as a vehicle for expanding coverage and then providing refundable tax credits so that people can in fact buy into those programs.
Mm-hmm. Now,
the other thing he said that was really interesting is he thinks we could get to universal coverage in his first year as president.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just used a phrase, and at first I thought it was a reflection of the kind of dead-on-arrival Bush administration proposal, but you inserted the word refundable. So Richardson talked about a refundable tax credit, where the one that Bush proposed in the State of the Union is not, in fact.
Yeah, well, and in fact, without being too much of a tax policy wonk, what he proposed was actually tax deduction, which is, I think, even more problematic because how valuable that is to you really depends on how high the income bracket that you're in.
Right. If you got Bush tax cuts before, it'll feel real good.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So now let's talk about Barack and John Edwards and Hillary Rodham Clinton. They get most of the coverage in this article. But the presentation itself was, I imagine, timed, and each person got about the same amount of speaking time. Is that right?
That's right. All mm-hmm. of the candidates got about 20 minutes altogether between their presentation and then the question and answer part of the program.
All right. I'll let you choose from those three who you want to talk about first.
Well, I guess, you know, to continue working backwards a little bit, we're a little out of order. But
yeah.
Senator Clinton was really interesting. She was very dynamic, and one of the things that she said, and this just reflects my history on this issue, is she said that she was really proud to have tried in 1993 and 1994 to have achieved, to get the universal coverage. And while she was disappointed at the results, of course, she feels like we've laid the groundwork. She was probably the most critical of the Republicans for mm-hmm. kind of not being out there on the issue. And she also gave a hint that she's going to be, not waiting for the presidential campaign so much as introducing some legislation in the Senate right now about insurance rules. So I thought that was pretty interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm not her biggest fan, but I really think that the unsung benefit of her attempt to fix the health care problems in the early 1990s, early in the first Clinton term, were that it created a check on the industries, and they seemed to limit their own annual increases.
I think we definitely did see that in the early and mid-90s.
Yeah, and as soon as, it appeared that the Clintons were on their way out, about 2000, that's when the industry said, okay, let's pump it up. Let's go to double-digit increases on health care costs and health care insurance.
Well, and what it sounds like she's talking about is requiring that insurance companies, accept everybody who applies for coverage and not allowing them to only insure healthy people,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is would be, if she pursues that, would be a, sort of good platform to start really doing something in 2009. We'll
mm-hmm.
have more people in the system and can be moving ahead.
Karen, did anybody interject comments about the burden of the shift of health care expenses that were fully covered by employers when Bill Clinton left the White House and are now, that burden is shouldered more and more by employees? And I consider that a huge tax increase on working families in this country that is largely unidentified and unnoticed.
Well, I think a couple of the candidates referred to it, at least indirectly. I know that Clinton actually talked about somebody who she had met on the campaign trail who had paid $19,000 out of pocket because of a pre-existing condition exclusion, not quite what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but certainly a huge burden on that person. There was definitely discussion about the employer-based healthcare system starting when Andy Stern kicked off the event. As you might know, he has been quite vocal on
right.
his belief that the employer-based healthcare system is crumbling before our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Representative Kucinich talked about how, there's no reason why health insurance should have any relationship to your job, which would be completely consistent with the plan that he's put forward.
Right. Okay. Now to Senator Edwards. He, of course, made a dramatic announcement with his wife, Elizabeth, about the recurrence of her cancer.
Yes.
And I imagine that was referenced during his comments.
I don't recall if he led off by talking about it, but it was certainly one of the first questions from the moderator, who was Karen Tumulty. I think her first question was, are you going to stay in the race, and
mm-hmm.
how will your wife's health problems change your views?
Mm-hmm.
And his answer, I thought, was really good. He said, we're getting more credit than we deserve, and this isn't really, there are plenty of women with breast cancer who don't have coverage. They have to continue on with their lives, and, this is about those women and all other Americans. So, you know, that definitely was part of it, and Mrs. Edwards was at the event with him as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Edwards has a pretty detailed plan, and to his credit, he talks about raising taxes by as much as $100 billion a year.
Yes.
And when I hear that, I say right on, and then my political instincts kick in, and I say, ooh, Fritz Mondale, 1984. You know, he said that Reagan needed to raise taxes, but he won't tell you, and I just did.
Well, you know, I guess we'll see how this plays out. The polling certainly says that people are willing to pay more for, a health system that provides coverage to everybody, and how they react to Senator Edwards will help tell us if they're telling the pollsters the truth or not, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. All right, now what about Senator Obama?
His opening in particular was really exciting, and he really talked about how what we need isn't so much a whole range of plans, although he certainly said that he's going to be putting out a plan too, but that, you know, what we really need is the political will and a sense of urgency, and he made a promise that, you know, he wants to be held accountable for getting health care reform done if he's elected president, and we haven't had much of an accountability moment in this country for a while, so mm-hmm. That was refreshing to hear.
But he still has no detailed plan, right?
No, he did talk about some principles that he would focus on, including, you know, making prevention a bigger part of our healthcare system. And he talked about, having everybody in the system and sharing responsibility for costs, particularly through having more pooling. But we definitely, you know, could tell that he's still thinking about a lot of this and making his choices.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karen, I want to thank you for your time today. Thank you for this detailed report. And thank you, too, to CAP for putting this on the agenda. It's a very important set of issues, somewhat getting lost in the shuffle of war and other politics. But I'm really glad that you focused on it and gathered all the candidates.
Well, we had a great time doing it, and we think it's going to be on the agenda in a big way.
All right. Very good. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you, too. Thanks
right.
so much.
That's Karen Davenport of the Center for American Progress. A quick break, and we return. If you got a comment, well, bring it on. Toll free. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the news. KRXA 540.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We got a light rain falling in San Francisco today.
It was a filthy block of flats. Trash was on the floor. A snake was in my nose. Hinges off the door. She took me in her room. I was big and span. Me up a drink, turn down all the lights. The rain fell down.
It just gives me an excuse to trot out some Rolling Stones. 5 minutes away from the hour, and this is really interesting. There's a guy named Larry, and he and his wife are in self-imposed exile in Costa Rica. And the phone system there's a little funky, but he's able to log on and listen to the show. And he is apparently listening in real time today because he has some comments about health care. He said, in a single-payer plan, these things would no longer exist and great savings would result. Workers' compensation, including retraining, lost wages, disability, but medical expenses would be removed. Auto medical insurance, veterans disabled medical benefits, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. Very good point, Larry. And I don't know what the healthcare system's like there in Costa Rica, but I hope you're healthy and comfortable there. Ellen in Ferndale's on the line. Welcome, Ellen. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I called to tell you that there's an occupation going on. This is not a healthcare issue.
Uh-huh.
It's a friendly occupation, but a remonstrance with our Congressman Mike Thompson. And there's an occupation going on in his office right now. It's actually modeled after the sit-in about 7 years ago when a bunch of Redwood Forest.
Yeah, and Frank Riggs had them pepper sprayed.
Yes, that's right. They locked down around a tree stump, but these guys are locking down around an oil barrel in the middle of Thompson's office and refusing to leave. And they've been visiting Representative Thompson's office for the past few Mondays, but this time they're particularly upset with this recent passage of H.R. 1591, the Iraq Accountability Veterans Health Troop Readiness Act,
mm-hmm.
which really should be called the Give Bush Everything He Wants Act and give some Democrat congressmen some spinach and peanut storage as well.
Hey, careful on the spinach, okay?
Yeah, you live in Spinach area.
I live in San Francisco, but our friends in Monterey Salinas have had a setback there, and I'm actually not opposed to that money.
I agree that they should get the money, but really the war issue is so important.
Indeed.
Like it deserves a bill of its own.
Well, but if it's a bill of its own, it might not have even gotten, you know, the 6-vote margin it did. And I think you know, Ellen, that I have very mixed feelings about it. It's the best under the circumstances, but it's not good enough. And the Democrats will ultimately have to face the fact that their only way of reining in this White House is to cut off the money. You cannot negotiate with a terrorist, and that's really essentially what Bush is, particularly on the war. He just takes these incredible demagogue positions and dares them to defy him. So, Ellen, thank you for the report, and I appreciate that people are taking this initiative, and I hope that Mike Thompson is not like Frank Riggs.
Thanks okay, so much.
You bet, Ellen. Now to Jake in Arcata. Hi, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Not bad. Just about 20 seconds. Give us your thought.
Well, real quick, I just hope Mike Thompson doesn't flaunt his conservative blue dog credentials by acting like Frank Riggs and doing anything mean to those protesters.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is America wants out of Iraq. They want the troops home. And it, right now, the cutting off the funds position is a 50-50 position in the country. And the only reason the Democrats aren't going there is because conservative blue dogs like Mike Thompson don't want to go there. But it's about time they listen to the public and start talking about cutting off the funds for this war, because Bush simply cannot be trusted with any more funding for this war.
Absolutely. They're giving him a huge extension, and we can't afford it. Thank you very much, Jake. Coming up next, we'll talk about the situation in Iran, gunboat diplomacy, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Big news about a common treatment for clogged arteries.
Large study questions need for many angioplasties.
This trial is critically important.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
Anna Nicole Smith's death is ruled an accident.
We found nothing to indicate any foul play.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A study out today could lead to big changes in cardiology.
Heart stent sales and surgeries are worth billions. 85% of all angioplasties done in the U.S. every year involve people with stable artery disease who choose the procedure to try to prevent further damage. Now, a large New England Journal of Medicine study finds these lower-risk patients receive just as much benefit from less costly, less invasive medications along with lifestyle changes.
Medical therapy has not been viewed as an optimal approach. Many have even considered it an inferior approach.
If medications fail, angioplasty is always an option later, says lead author William Bowden, but even then...
The results of our study would suggest that roughly two-thirds of patients never required that.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
I'm Dan Revive. Another medical study focused on women and low-dose aspirin. Those taking one a day for over 20 years had a lower death rate from heart attacks and strokes, similar to the findings for men, and...
There's also emerging data that shows that aspirin may potentially play a role in preventing death from cancer as well.
Especially colorectal cancer, says Dr. Andrew Chan, head of this study at Harvard Medical School, adding the risk of ulcers and bleeding from aspirin means women should consult their physicians. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Now this.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive Car Insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children, I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal, but no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Buying a used car can be a roller coaster ride. Are you getting the car you think you're getting, or just being taken for a ride? Listen closely. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Honda certified used cars. Oh, and don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Ruling from the coroner on the death of Anna Nicole Smith, it was an accident brought on by a lethal mix of prescription drugs.
I'm Peter King in Dania Beach, Florida. The Broward County Medical Examiner says Anna Nicole Smith's death was not all that uncommon.
We see, unfortunately, every day people who died of a
combination of therapeutic drugs.
In this case, 9 drugs used for depression, anxiety, weight loss, and to induce sleep, among other things. Dr. Joshua Perper says there wasn't enough of any single drug to be lethal on its own, but if anything tipped the balance, he says, it was a sleep aid, chloral hydrate.
That drug played a role in the death of Smith's idol, Marilyn Monroe, 45 years ago. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis tells us a Justice Department official subpoenaed by the Senate Judiciary Committee will plead the Fifth and refuse to answer questions.
33-year-old Monica Goodling is counsel to the Attorney General and one of the key figures in the U.S. Attorney firing plan. Goodling claims that an unnamed colleague has been telling the Senate Judiciary Committee that Goodling may have been withholding facts. She cites a, quote, perilous environment on Capitol Hill and accuses Democrats of already making up their mind that there was wrongdoing.
The White House supports Goodling's decision, saying it's unfortunate she doesn't feel she'd be treated fairly by Congress. The political battle over Iraq shifted to the Senate today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The Senate measure to fund the war has its own strings attached, requiring some troops start coming out in a few months and setting a 1-year deadline for withdrawal, though it's not as firm as the House version. Democratic leader Harry Reid.
After 4 years of war, our troops deserve a strategy that will help them complete the mission so they can come home.
Republican leader Mitch McConnell says his party won't block the bill to fund the war, but will try to strip out any language to pull the troops out. And if that doesn't work, we'll rely on President Bush's promised veto. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As CBS News first reported on Friday, the military concludes there was no criminal wrongdoing in the friendly fire death of Pat Tillman, the former NFL star who was shot by fellow Army Rangers in Afghanistan. But Thomas Gimbel, the Pentagon's acting inspector general, says the truth of what happened was concealed by misleading and inaccurate information.
We determined that several officers in Corporal Tillman's chain of command were accountable for the inaccuracies and the failure to correct the record once they became aware that the information was inaccurate.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, are you all right? First thing my buddies asked was, how's the car?
Get more for your money. Visit Progressive.com or your local independent agent. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Casualty and Direct Insurance Companies and their affiliates. Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in over 50 locations nationally. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hello, America. It's time to play Take on Orbitz, the travel game where you could save $100 on your next hotel stay. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbitz.com during the Plan Your Escape hotel sale and save $100 on 5 nights at select hotels nearly anywhere in the world. So if work is wearing you out or your neighbors are driving you nutty, plan your escape and pick your hotel right now at Orbitz.com.
Save $100 off 5 plus nights on select hotels. Valid for travel May 1st through December 20th. Book by...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Push down that weapon, or we'll all be gone.
Bush to Ahmadinejad. Put down that weapon, that nuke. A little politically infused rock and roll from the Oils, Midnight Oil from Australia. That's a diesel and dust cut from late 1980s. Later this hour, we're going to shift gears and talk about some controversy here in California over water rights. Bill Jennings will join us to talk about the ruling on fish being killed in the pumps of the state water project and what that means to fisher people and farmers. But first, we want to take a look at the gunboat diplomacy underway in the Iran-Iraq border areas there, the waters just above the Persian Gulf. There was an incident reported here in the West on Friday, and still we understand that 15 British sailors and Marines, 14 men, one woman, are in the custody of the Iranians. And despite the sharp diplomatic protests lodged by Britain to Tehran, Iranians claim they're going to try these individuals for essentially trespassing in the territory. territorial waters of Iran. To provide commentary on this, we turn to Professor Faraday Farhi, and she's an independent research and adjunct professor of political science at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. Professor Farhi, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good to be with you, Peter.
And is Manoa the Honolulu campus?
Yes, the main campus.
Okay, great. Well, my neighbor goes there, and I understand he made the dean's list last quarter. So
good for him.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, just tell me your initial thoughts about this incident that occurred Friday, U.S. time, and whether this could be the trigger to larger hostilities between the U.S. and Iran, in your view.
Well, in terms of the last part of your question, the situation is obviously very tense, and the risks of accidental war in the area are obviously very high. But I do see this latest action on the part of the Iranian government as essentially an act of brinksmanship and attempt to essentially relay a message both to the British but mostly to the Americans that the kind of pressure that is being imposed on the Iranians, both in terms of the nuclear file as well as what has happened in the past couple of months in relationship to Iraq, will not lead to a situation where the Iranian leadership will be cowed or pressured to change its position.
Mm-hmm. And is this part of the larger package here where Iran maintains its very staunch position about its right to develop nuclear power for the generation of electricity? They still maintain that they're not interested in developing nuclear weapons. But this occurred almost simultaneously with the UN Security Council imposing a new round of sanctions on Iran.
Precisely. So obviously I do think that is connected to that dynamic. U.S. policy in the past few months has been operating under the assumption that if you place enough pressure on the Iranians, both at the Security Council level, also in relationship to accusations of Iraq, as well as certain unilateral financial sanctions that are being imposed on the part of the United States, that because of the contested political dynamics in Iran, the government of President Ahmadinejad will be placed under pressure to give in on the nuclear issue and engage in negotiation with the United States on the basis of the preconditions imposed by the United States and Europe. And the preconditions are that Iran suspends its uranium enrichment program before beginning the talks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I do see the Iranian reaction as an attempt to signal that those kind of pressures will not work. There is also this added element that about 2 months ago, several of Iranian officials in Iraq were arrested in Iraqi Kurdistan.
So this is tit for tat?
Well, it's a kind of a similar action. We have not heard from those five that have been arrested, and one more was kidnapped a few weeks later. We do know, Iranians do not know where they are. No one knows where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there was tremendous amount of pressure on the Iranian government inside Iran to do something about this, because the Iranian government responded to those arrests, kidnapping, whatever you want to call them, depending on your position, in a very muted fashion. And
yeah,
there was also quite a bit of pressure on the Iranian government to do something about that.
Mm-hmm. And from your perspective, who's more provocative here? And maybe this is an impossible question, and if you want to say so, I'll accept that. But I do understand that Iran has operated in a provocative way with the denial of the Holocaust, the support for Hezbollah, its interference in our occupation, and I'll put that in quotes, in Iraq. And, you know, the way they have operated in defiance of the international community is quite clear. On the other hand, I believe that the U.S. has demonstrated a duplicity or hypocrisy in deciding who among our who in the world community is allowed to have nukes and who isn't. And by giving a pass to India and Pakistan, I believe that we've set a bad precedent that Iran looks at. Likewise, the way we have used more or less diplomacy with North Korea to try to solve that set of issues seems to, you know, make Iran feel that they've been singled out for a much more aggressive approach. So do you have an answer about who's been more provocative
well,
here?
You have put so many different things in your question that it's difficult to answer all of them. But it's important to understand that the Iranian situation is a little bit different from the other dynamics in terms of its nuclear program. The reason Iran is under pressure for not pursuing a nuclear weapons program is because Iran is a signatory to non-proliferation treaty. So the comparison with India and Pakistan or even Israel for that matter, I don't think it's a good comparison because the Iranians have said they don't want a nuclear weapons program, but they do insist on their peaceful nuclear energy program, as you suggested, as a right. So in that sense, you're very correct that the kind of pressure that is being imposed on Iran is unduly, in the sense that Iran is being asked to do things that other countries in the international arena are not being asked to do. Now, the argument that is being made for doing that is because they say Iran, unlike other countries in the world, cannot be trusted. The Iranians, on the other hand, respond by saying, okay, if that is the issue, let us begin developing mechanisms through which our nuclear program can be trusted, rather than coming up with this flat-out notion that Iranians should not have a process that other countries under international obligation can have. And that's where the difficulty comes in. So at the end, I have to agree with your argument that the Iranians are being placed under a kind of pressure that no other country in the world is being placed under. And that's an important dynamic to understand. Now, why that is so, you know, could have many explanations. My explanation would be that Iran is located in a very critical area where United States would like to maintain control, if not necessarily access, of its economic resources. Iran is a country in that area that is not a client state. It is not a government that would I would necessarily prefer, but it is not a client state to the United States. And in the kind of plan that the United States has for the region, Iran has been a sore thumb. Yes, Iran does support Hezbollah, does support Hamas, and so on, but from the Iranian point of view and from the point of view of many other players in the region, these organizations are not organizations that should be considered terrorist organization. They are national liberation organizations, and from the Iranian point of view, they deserve the support of various forces, progressive forces, in fact, in the world.
Understood. And, Professor, just about a minute till our next break. Do you fear that Bush and Cheney are looking for an excuse to attack Iran?
At this point, I see the threat of war against Iran as more part and parcel of a psychological warfare. That is to say, an attempted squeeze on Iran to give in on its nuclear program and other issues involved. I do not think that, you know, as I said, the possibility of an accidental war is real and frightening, but I do see the threats like, you know, all options are on the table as essentially a way to further squeeze Iran and pressure Iran to give in on issues without a war.
We need to take a break. We'll continue in just a moment with Professor Faraday Farhi from the University of Hawaii. We're talking about Iran, and if you have a question or comment, you can call right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. See, I memorized it. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the news. KRXA 540.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Got a very pleasant good afternoon. A little bit of wet and rainy stuff all over the place. We're going to mention Pajaro, San Juan Road at Porter Drive, a two-vehicle crash reported there. Also mentioning that CHP is, in fact, on scene. Then we're going to take a look at Soquel. Porter Street at Soquel Drive, a two-vehicle crash. It is on the shoulder there. It was first reported just about 3:49 this afternoon. Aromas, 129 eastbound at Rogie Lane. That's Rogie Lane. So a vehicle has been moved to the right shoulder there. A stall, let's see, Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17, just after Pasatiempo. It's an accident, actually, on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved there. And this report is brought to you by PG&E, the people of Pacific Gas and Electric Company, working hard to provide the tools to help you manage your energy and use your bill. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Hey, it's 22 minutes after the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about Iran and the British sailors and Marines who were taken captive. We can't quite call them hostages yet, but they are still in the custody of Iranian officials there. And there has been no proof that I've seen that they actually violated the territorial waters of Iran. They stoutly maintain that they had detained a ship in Iraqi waters that they thought had contraband cars on it. And as they were detaining that ship, they were in turn encircled and detained by Iranians. And perhaps they drifted at that point into Iranian waters. But the British maintain very firmly that the event originated in Iraqi waters, which they are authorized to patrol. Professor Faraday Farhi from the University of Hawaii is with us. And Professor, just give us a little background on yourself. I'm guessing from your name that you are of Iranian descent.
Yes, I am, but I've been here for over 30 years, although in the 1990s I did go back to Iran and taught there and did research for about 5 years.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, in the late 1990s and 2000.
And what is your sense? It's widely known in the United States, the demographics of Iran. I think fully 60% of the population is under the age of 35. Mm-hmm. And as you were doing research and perhaps had contact with students there, do you feel that there is a pro-Western element in Iran that desires liberation?
Well, there is definitely a pro-democratic movement or feelings in Iran, and there is certainly this desire on the part of the large majority of the population to reduce the heavy hand of the state in the daily lives of the population. Whether that means pro-Western is, I think, is something to be debated.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to understand that when people talk about the youth in Iran or women in the West, they talk about them as though they are undifferentiated categories. And the reality is that the youth of Iran, the women of Iran, or whatever categories you use, come from different walks of life. And, you know, to try to suggest that they all move in one direction as though they are herds and mm-hmm. there are no differentiations within them, I think misunderstands the reality of the country, any country,
mm-hmm.
And Iran in particular. I mean, the youth in Iran, many of them have Western orientation, but there are also many who are, for example, part of the Basij militia force who are patrolling the streets or have, you know, religious inclinations.
Mm-hmm.
There are class differences that need to be taken into account. But generally speaking, I think you could make an argument very easily, given what has happened in the past 10 years or so in Iran, that a large majority of the population desires a kind of government that is less intrusive in the daily lives of the people,
mm-hmm.
and furthermore, you know, goes along with a century-long aspiration of various movements in Iran, which is operates under the rules of law. It is less arbitrary, less authoritarian, and responds to the daily needs of the population.
Now, Professor, the new UN Security Council resolution, the sanctions, calls for freezing overseas assets of 15 Iranian citizens and 13 organizations, some involved in the nation's nuclear programs and missile development efforts, some associated with the Revolutionary Guard and the Quds Force. Do you have any sense that this will really have an impact?
I don't think so. I mean, it's not exactly clear. You know, sanctions have a way of working themselves out in longer terms. And what this resolution has done is to go beyond Iran's nuclear program and actually, in effect, put a sanction on Iran's export of arms and also place financial sanctions on one of Iran's largest banks, which is Bank of Sepah, which it presumes is connected to Revolutionary Guards. The sanctions may have some sort of an impact, but the bottom line is that sanctions that do not impact Iran's oil exports effectively really do not have overall impact on the Iranian economy, in the sense that the Iranian leadership is willing to accept lower economic growth, lower investment rates inside Iran, essentially allow the Iranian economy limp along as it has done for the past two decades, than to give up what it considers to be, what it has proclaimed to be, Iranian rights. And that, I think, is a miscalculation on the part of the United States. And they think pressure on Iran will work, or lots of pressure on Iran will work. I do not think they understand the fact that the Iranian leadership is willing to allow the Iranian economy stagnate.
Professor, we're out of time, but I thank you for your thoughts today and appreciate your contribution.
It was good to be with you, Peter.
Professor Faraday Farhi from the University of Hawaii. Next, Water Rights in California. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Is the Constitution still alive? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The Supreme Court last week took up the case of a student who was suspended for displaying a banner saying "Bong Hits for Jesus." Both liberal and conservative lawyers rushed to defend him because they saw a threat to free speech. The firing of the U.S. attorneys is also being covered as a threat to freedom, an attempt by the administration to substitute politics for evidence and stifle dissent in the ranks. And you listen to all this and you begin to believe that the Constitution is under threat, that we are flirting with tyranny. Actor Sean Penn certainly believes this.
We are encouraged to self-censor any words that might be perceived as inflammatory.
He was speaking at an anti-war rally in Oakland over the weekend. But how do we know? What tests do we have to determine whether the Constitution's protections are still intact? I think we may have one. And it's courtesy of Sean Penn, who in that same speech, after he warned of the temptation to self-censorship, and I hope your airbags are on, then addressed this remark to the Bush administration.
We cower as you point your fingers telling us to support our troops. Well, you and the smarmy pundits in your pocket, those who bathe in the moisture of your soiled and blood-soaked underwear, can take that noise and shove it.
That was Saturday, and as far as I know, Sean Penn remains a free man today. Of course, it's early in the week. But I think the left may have finally found its Ann Coulter. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewalls. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show.
Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The Colts in session. The Colts in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge!
Your Honor, the case before the court is called Fish versus Farmers. How do you rule?
Stop beating that bird. Cause here comes the judge. Don't nobody bird. Cause here comes the judge. Judge Shorty is presiding today. And he don't take no stuff from nobody. No kind of way. Hey, boy, take off that hat. Where do you think it's at?
Actually, the judge in question is one Judge Frank Roche, who sits on the Superior Court in Alameda County, which is the county where you find Oakland and Berkeley. And he issued a ruling on Friday that's pretty far-reaching in scope, and it gives the state of California 60 days to figure out how to stop killing fish, including endangered and threatened species, that run afoul of the state water project's huge pumps, and in particular the pumping station at the Harvey O. Banks pumping plant, which is near Tracy, California, is a place where many fish swim up and don't survive. Joining us to talk about it is Bill Jennings, and he represents the California Sport Fishing Protection Alliance. Bill, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Welcome. I mean, appreciate it.
Well, it's nice to have you here. What have you caught recently? I'd like to know your credentials as an angler.
I'm afraid that I've traded my rod for a keyboard in trying to protect fish.
Now, what about the Popiel Pocket Fisherman? Isn't that the solution?
I get out on the stream too infrequently these days.
I see. Tell us a little bit about your organization. How many members? What are their interests?
Well, we got about 3,000 members around the state, and we labor in the trenches of the regulatory processes, trying to both in the water quality realms with the state and regional water boards, and in the water quantity side of things before state and federal agencies, in trying to protect. We say sport fishing, but it's protecting all the little critters in the water that make up the web of life.
And water really is the political lifeblood of California. It's also the economic lifeblood. And yet I have not met anyone who really understands the whole system. It's complex, of course. It's massive and a lot of moving parts. How long have you been studying this? And, you know, not to be critical, but what level do you think you've achieved in terms of understanding the complex water distribution system in California?
Since the early 80s, I've been involved in the regulatory processes, and I certainly don't profess to understand all of the intricacies and nuances of California water politics, or even the elaborate the subtleties of the elaborate distribution system.
Yeah, no, I mean I have deep respect for it, and at the same time, I often feel like the average California voter has very little idea of the complexity of the system and all the different power centers. Because, you know, just if you take the State Water Project, which is essentially to move Sacramento River Delta water south to the desert part of the state, there are a lot of issues that come up in terms of, you know, who has the rights to that water and how it is allocated. And much of that occurs in back rooms where you and I, or maybe you, maybe you're consulted, but I've never been at that table.
Well, generally speaking, the environmental and fishing communities aren't in the back rooms. We're occasionally at the stakeholder tables as window dressing, but we hardly figure into this much of the serious decision-making processes.
Which is would explain why you had to lawyer up and go before a judge to win this important ruling.
Right. I mean, actually, if you were following the state constitution or the state water code, things are much simpler. I mean, water is a public trust resource, property of all of the people of California. It's apportioned on first come as on need. I mean, you have to show a use for that water. You have to continually prove that you're using that water in a beneficial and economical measure, and if it doesn't, it goes to the next in line. Of course, in the political reality, that's not what happens, and that's what makes everything very complex.
Mm-hmm. So give us your sense of the impact of this court ruling on Friday. Essentially, the judge has ruled in your favor that there's unnecessary killing and risk to fish, some endangered species, including the Delta smelt and Chinook salmon, and that the real culprit is this Harvey O. Banks pumping plant near Tracy. Now, you know, maybe I'm a moron here, but isn't it simple enough to put up a series of nets that prevent the fish from getting to the pump opening?
Well, there are obviously things that could be done. There are fish screens in place. Unfortunately, for example, Delta smelt in their larval stage, they're so small that even nets can't catch them. Mm-hmm. So, in essence, we don't even know how many, you know, are being killed. All we know that the pumps, when operating, the most powerful pumps on the planet, evacuate the entire South Delta in every 4 days. We've long known that the take of Chinook salmon, I mean winter run, spring run, and Delta smelt is huge. The screens, in fact, as part of the original CalFed Accord, I mean in the early 90s, they were to be replaced by state of the art fish screens that was abandoned when the water contractor said it was too expensive and they wouldn't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But so I mean, there are obviously things that can be done. Our concern was with this particular piece of litigation in August of 2005, the director of DFG, Ryan Broderick, and the director of Department of Water Resources, Lester Snow.
DFG's fish and game. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. testified before the Senate Natural Resources Committee in a hearing to determine whether CESA, the California Endangered Species Act, had been complied with. And it became very clear that they were throwing up a smoke screen talking about this patchwork of arrangements that they thought constituted strict statutory compliance. We looked over the transcripts of that. We actually sent a Public Records Act request in what I think was December of 2005. That led to subsequent, I mean, quite a bit of correspondence. I mean, it was stacks and stacks of documents. And we concluded that they just really hadn't blatantly in noncompliance with what is really the most fundamental. I mean, the Endangered Species Act really is the last the last net. I mean, it's the catch-all trying to prevent species from tumbling over into the abyss of extinction. And so,
Bill, one more fish metaphor, and you're going to have to take me out to a fish fry dinner.
Okay. I guess we then in I think May of 2006 we sent a letter to the Department of Water Resources telling them that we did intend to sue them if they in fact failed to comply with CESA. The lawsuit was filed in October. We actually had a hearing in November. The matter was taken under submission in December, and the judge spent months in reading all of the documents and agonizing over the decision, and then came out with a very clear statement that we were correct and that they in fact had not complied with the very explicit mandates. I mean, the California Endangered Species Act actually goes a bit further than the Federal Endangered Species Act. The Federal Endangered Species Act only requires that you avoid, minimize, take to a certain percentage. The state law requires you to mitigate the adverse impacts. In other words, if you can't avoid take, you've got to replace it. And that's been the conundrum. They couldn't find a consistency, make a consistency determination that with the Federal Endangered Species Act, with the biological opinion supporting the Federal Endangered Species Act. And so they just, you know, kind of twiddled their thumbs, gazed at the ceiling, and pretended that the California Endangered Species Act didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Now, when actually did they change the rules to make the state actually abide by the laws it passes? and who told Judge Roche?
Right. And I guess that one of the interesting things that we found that increasingly over the last decade, state agencies, you know, the Department of Fish and Game and DWR speak with one voice, the administration voice. And in a case of where you've got a trustee agency charged with protecting the people's public trust assets in fish and wildlife, and an agency that is inadvertently killing them, I mean, you've essentially got the regulatory agency, you know, speaking with the same voice as those are required to regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that work? I mean, and that, I think, is in great part tells the tale of why California fisheries, I mean, from the Klamath to Southern California, are experiencing great problems today.
Well, and also the track record of the Department of Water Resources is quite mixed. Great Avis turned to them to buy electricity during the blackout era in the first part of this century. We all remember that nostalgically now. But that was a big mess. Now, to be fair, he dumped this on them, and it was a crisis, and he was responsible for large elements of it. But I would just say, from my perspective as a consumer who's not, you know, terribly well informed on all of this, that I don't have a great deal of confidence in the Department of Water Resources in terms of, you know, really abiding by the law and observing the interests of the average citizen.
Well, they, you know, as a fisherman, I would say they're terribly efficient in what they do in killing fish to move water.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also this fascinating fact. I mean, if you talk to the rank and file, the people in either the Department of Water Resources, the engineers and modelers, or in the Department of Fish and Game, the fishery scientists and biologists, what you find is a very different story than necessarily than what is generally promulgated at the top levels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a real disconnect between the people, you know, on the line in the field and what is the policy of an administration.
Yeah. Now, one of the dramatic things in this ruling is that the judge gave them 2 months to fix this problem. And your defendants are certainly bristling. Here's Ryan Broderick, director of the California Department of Fish and Game. He said that these kind of strategies are complicated and time-consuming. We want to find solutions for the Delta that have long-term sustainability. The 60-day time frame offered is not sufficient. And Lester Snow over there at the Water Resources Department, former director of CalFed, agrees, noted the state recently authorized a $1 billion Delta Habitat Conservation Plan. Now, that's a nice distraction, but that has absolutely nothing to do with this situation, right?
Right. That's part of a smokescreen. You know, it's kind of like a Hollywood storefront. I mean, you know, and or a Potemkin village. I mean, don't look behind. I mean, the Bay Delta Habitat Conservation Plan. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful thing if it ever comes in years ahead. It's going to take several years to develop it, and since all of the water purveyors are insisting upon no surprises and assurances and so forth, it may never see the light of day. And in the meantime, we are likely to see species go into extinction. We can't wait for that. I mean, you know, the law is very clear. And they've known, I mean, you know, the Department of Fish and Game, this is no surprise. They've been working on Delta issues for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not starting from scratch. They've obviously, certainly the biologists we talked to, have some idea. I mean, the Pelagic Fish Action Plan in March of 07 that they just released would go a long way. What we don't have is compliance with the explicit statutory requirements of the law.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bill.
Obviously, they can't. Whether they can put it together in 60 days or not, well, tell us. I mean, take 4 months, 5 months. I mean, you know, but they've not given any indication. They could have, if they'd started back in August of 05, when this issue firm became, you know, into the light of public scrutiny, we would have long had it.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, we're going to have to start somewhere.
Right. All right, Bill. I got to go to a break here. Our show is sponsored by Starkist Tuna, and they get really upset if we go to the break late. You hang on, and we'll be right back. Okay. Bill Jennings is with us from the California Sport Fishing Protection Alliance. They want a key ruling from a state judge in California on Friday regarding fish kills in the state water project. We'll talk more about this as we continue. If you have a question or comment, call me now. Put your fishing rod down and call us toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread. Try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in. Sit right down, it's the friendliest place in town, Central Avenue Bakery, in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today, 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at the latest. A little bit of activity right now, especially in Aromas. It'll be 129 eastbound at Roji Lane. It is a solo vehicle. Good news here, it has been pushed out of the lane. They've pushed it actually to the right shoulder now. Emergency crews, however, are blocking the eastbound lane. We have minor injuries reported, some fire department and emergency crews responding to the scene there, obviously. Then we're going to take a quick look at Monterey. Yes, indeed, northbound on 1. Just before, looks like Mundras. It's a two-vehicle crash, and they are in the center divide area. And in Aptos, we have Highway 1 southbound at Soquel. Left lane completely blocked because of a two-vehicle crash. CHP and emergency crews on scene. This report brought to you by PG&E, the people of Pacific Gas and Electric, working hard to provide tools to help you manage your energy and use your bill. I'm Mike Nash, traffic on AM 540 KRXRA.
This just into the Peter B. Collins Show. A Democratic presidential candidate has announced plans calling for a new investigation of what happened on 9/11. We'll get the details from Kyle Hentz, one of the producers of 9/11 Press for Truth, a powerful documentary. He'll join us about 15 minutes from now as we kick off the Free Speech Zone next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hey, you're driving home now, and particularly if you're on Interstate 5, you see the State Water Project and the canal that carries water from the San Francisco Delta, or the Sacramento River Delta, to be more precise, Through the Central Valley and on into Southern California. Some of that water is diverted into agriculture in the Central Valley and in Monterey County, and some of it goes to water lawns in Beverly Hills. We're talking with Bill Jennings, California Sport Fishing Protection Alliance, and the court ruling we mentioned happened on Friday, a judge in Alameda County ordering the state to comply within 60 days and to develop a plan to stop killing fish in large numbers at the pumping plant near Tracy called the Harvey Banks pumping plant. And this is a monster, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. It moves water at the rate of 10,000 cubic feet a second. How many Olympic pools would that be, Bill? You got your calculator there?
Well, I don't know. It's about 13,000 acre feet a day, and that acre foot will supply two families for a year.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of water. And what's your fix? What do you think the state needs to do to get in compliance with the Endangered Species Act and these other compacts that require them to mitigate the damage as much as they can?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. Since CalFed was originally formed, we've seen a steady increase in the rate of exports. And we've seen changes in the season of diversion, the timing of those diversions, and that's had a disastrous effect on fisheries. I think what we need to do, I think that the rate of diversions are beyond the point of maintaining the delta at present. I think we're going to have to back off and perhaps retrench a bit and go back to an earlier level of diversion. It was interesting in Department of Water Resources Bulletin 16005. They outlined that California's water needs could easily be met in 2035 through conservation reclamation using some desal technologies and so forth, that we could become more efficient in using water and reusing water, and that there wasn't really a water shortage, and that was certainly the Pacific Institute's study after that came out and verified, essentially said the same thing.
Well, wouldn't we also produce more potable water if we reduced the agricultural effluents like selenium from really inefficient rice farming north of Sacramento?
From that, our tillage of the selenium soils of Westlands that have polluted the San Joaquin River. Keep in mind, I mean, you know, this estuary, which is really one of the most marvelous estuary and ecosystems in North America, accepts waters from below Fresno to north of Redding.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, since we use these waterways as sewers to dispose of waste, it also, all of the waste that we generate, whether from municipal wastewater treatment plants or illegal discharges, industrial discharges, and agricultural discharges, they gather there. And certainly one of the problems of facing fisheries is poor water quality. Frequently, virtually every waterway in the Central Valley is impaired, incapable of supporting its identified beneficial uses because of a large array of pollutants. I mean, mm-hmm. That's why, all over the country we're finding that, for example, fish that inhabit the area just below the outfalls of the wastewater treatment plant, mm-hmm. we're finding that 60-80% of them are feminized.
Yeah,
I mean, these are problems. I mean,
and I've been doing my part. We go water skiing in the Delta every summer, and I've trained the kids to stop peeing in the water. And so we're doing what we can.
And we found, I mean, we've done a lot of looking at the bacterial contamination, I mean, E. coli in the Delta. And in the Central Delta, it's relatively clean. We find fairly high total coliform levels. I mean, but that also includes avian species. But
mm-hmm.
but the E. coli, which are mammal mammalian in source,
right.
along the periphery near urban areas, those waters are impaired. I certainly right. wouldn't water ski close to Stockton or some other urban area in the Delta.
Yeah, we like the Tuolumne. Anyway, Bill, we got a minute remaining. What is an acceptable response from your point of view by the state officials to stop killing these fish in Tracy?
I think a little reduction in exports eliminate the increase in winter exports that have been directly connected with the demise of Delta smelt. I think we need to determine how much water the Delta needs to survive as a viable ecosystem, and we can only do this if in fact state agencies comply with the law.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, if they comply with the law in the public arena rather than in the back room, I mean, we've got a fighting chance to muddle through the demands placed on the waters of California.
Mm-hmm. That's Bill Jennings, California Sport Fishing Protection Alliance, and a pretty good sport too. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to talk with you, and you keep us posted on the developments. All right. All right. Very good.
Cheers.
Well, it's very interesting, and fish or farming, it's an ongoing struggle here in California. Coming up next, we kick off the Free Speech Zone with an update from Kyle Hentz. He's one of the co-producers of 9/11 Press for Truth, and he's got an exciting announcement. A Democratic presidential candidate has said he's calling for a new investigation of what happened on 9/11/01. And if you want to join us next hour, just pick up the phone and call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Big changes could be coming in the way doctors treat clogged arteries. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on new research that questions the wisdom of angioplasty in many cases.
85% of all angioplasties involve patients with stable, less severe artery disease who choose the procedure.
That has been the prevailing wisdom. That has been the way I think most patients have been treated.
But is it wise? Dr. William Bowden led a New England Journal of Medicine study that finds that for these lower risk patients, medications and lifestyle changes are just as effective.
We have data to show the benefit of aggressive medical therapy and the safety of deferring angioplasty until or unless symptoms develop at some point in the future.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Separately, a long-term study of nearly 80,000 women suggests low doses of aspirin cut their risk of dying from cardiovascular disease and cancer. An official ruling in Broward County, Florida. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports the sudden death of Anna Nicole Smith was due to an accidental drug overdose.
The medical examiner says she was taking a lot of different drugs, all prescribed or intended for her. They included antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs, antihistamines, and chlorhydrate, a sleep aid. Dr. Joshua Perper says Smith often took more than the prescribed dose, but not enough of any single drug to have killed her. Rather, it was the interaction of 9 drugs that did.
She was 39. Pat Tillman left a lucrative pro football career to join the war on terrorism, only to be killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan. Today, a final report from the military.
An investigation into the death of the former NFL star found no evidence of a cover-up.
We determined that several officers in Corporal Tillman's chain of command were accountable for the inaccuracies and the failure to correct the record once they became aware that the information was inaccurate.
Acting Inspector General Thomas Gimbel singled out retired Lieutenant General Philip Kenzinger for offering misleading information. He would not say if he lied, though, or if any of the 9 officers involved would face disciplinary action.
We've turned that over over to the Army to make that determination.
Officials said Tillman died a hero and will keep his silver star. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The south lawn of the White House looked a bit like a car dealer's lot today as President Bush checked out some of the newest flex fuel vehicles. They'd been brought by the chief executives of the big three U.S. automakers.
It's important for the American taxpayer to understand is that we're using some of their dollars to promote new technologies. And we're working with these CEOs and their respective companies to advance new technologies. They're on the leading edge of technological change.
They've promised to double production of flex fuel vehicles. Mr. Bush wants to reduce gasoline consumption by 20% over 10 years. A mixed day in the market. The Dow Industrials down nearly 12 points, closing at 12,437. The Nasdaq 6 points higher at 24.55, and the price of oil rose 63 cents to $62.91 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
If you are living in a space that's too small, or too large, or too old, or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss tells us there was a brief scare on Capitol Hill today.
Senator Jim Webb's office says it was inadvertent that one of the senator's staffers and longtime friends tried to bring a loaded gun into a Senate office building. Capitol Police arrested Philip Thompson, who, like Webb, is a former Marine, when the x-ray machine at the door showed his bag had a loaded pistol and two full ammunition clips. Webb is a freshman Democrat from Virginia, just across the Potomac River, where it is legal to carry guns around. But it is against the law in Washington, D.C., and especially frowned upon inside the heavily guarded Capitol complex. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Reportedly, Senator Webb gave Thompson the gun as Thompson drove him to the airport earlier in the day. Guards at a border crossing between Egypt and the Gaza Strip had their suspicions raised by a woman who seemed strangely fat around the middle. A search turned up three young crocodiles tied around her waist. Apparently, she was smuggling them into Gaza to be sold. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive Car Insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children, I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal, but no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Buying a used car can be a roller coaster ride. Are you getting the car you think you're getting, or just being taken for a ride? Listen closely. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Honda certified used cars. Oh, and don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated,
really
mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Yoko?
By the world watched in horror. Two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center.
Oh, did they?
We better believe it.
We better believe it.
It's time to keep the chance.
Well, Yoko, I'm trying to deal with it, but I'm not sure I better believe it all. I am one of those people, and I'm not alone, who is skeptical of what our government and media have told us happened on September 11th, 2001. And joining us to tell us about a very interesting development is a man who has been pursuing the truth about 9/11 for several years now. And he is one of the executive producers of a powerful documentary called 9/11 Press for Truth, which brings forth the viewpoints of the Jersey Girls, families who lost loved ones in the 9/11 carnage. Kyle Hentz, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Peter, it's always good to be with you.
Well, you have some interesting news, so let me just give you the floor.
Yeah, well, today it came out on a paper up in Albany, Times Union, that Dennis Kucinich, who is the chairman, that means he has a gavel, of a important new subcommittee on domestic policy. It's an oversight committee under Henry Waxman in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And it has come out that he is planning and has launched an investigation into discrepancies in the 9/11 public record, in the 9/11 report. And he didn't go into too many details, but this is a big deal. This is a presidential candidate. This is someone who's very popular in progressive circles. He's amongst the leadership, really, on the House side. And he is not satisfied with the story that's been told with the 9/11 report, and he's starting to dig.
This is great. And I have been, like you, hoping for a long time that we would see a robust and unlimited new investigation into the real facts about 9/11, because from all quarters there is disappointment with the work of the Hamilton Kane Zelikow Commission. I mentioned Zelikow, who resigned from the State Department last year. He was handpicked by Condoleezza Rice, with whom he had co-authored a book, to be the White House minder on the 9/11 Commission that they never wanted. They deeply opposed it all along, and he was there to make sure that they didn't go too far. And David Ray Griffin, the theologian who wrote The New Pearl Harbor and 9/11 Commission Omissions, has yet another book coming out called Debunking the Debunkers, where he takes on the Popular Mechanics and NIST reports about the way the buildings came down on 9/11. And he's currently traveling, but we expect to have him on the show in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm looking forward to talking with him again. And, Kyle, the bottom line is here, I think you and I have common ground, that we don't pretend to know exactly what happened. And, you know, some of the subplots, if you will, of, you know, if a plane didn't hit the Pentagon, what did? What happened to the original plane with Ted Olson's wife on it? But we don't need to answer those questions.
No.
Or be able to prove what actually did happen in order to know that what we've been told simply does not add up. So many of the things we've been told don't match the physical evidence.
Yeah, well, that's right. And the reality is that, you know, going on 6 full years after the attacks, there's just this huge and growing body of academic work, you know, that is peer-reviewed, that has passed muster, that, you know, that completely shreds, you know, many aspects of the official story. And so basically making the case that we need, as you say, a no-holds-barred investigation that does what they said they were going to do, which was, you know, to leave no stone unturned. Well, you know, from Abel Danger to the Sybil Edmonds case to, to the reports of insider trading, the stock option spikes before 9/11, those things were not looked at. The collapse of Building 7, completely left out of the 9/11 report.
So, let's pause there for a minute, because I'm really curious to get your reaction to a recently a film or a videotape that was recently made available. And I know about videotapes a little bit. I've edited them, and I've manipulated them. And I found this to be a very credible sequence from the BBC's live coverage of the attacks in New York and elsewhere on September 11th of 2001. And in particular, we have this footage, which has time stamps on it. And it shows a BBC reporter doing what we call a stand-up. They are facing the camera from a site some miles away from the World Trade Center. And in the background, we can clearly see Building 7 as this female reporter tells us that Building 7 has collapsed.
Yeah, that's right. And I would say it's closer to a mile or less in the background.
Okay.
And you can clearly see I mean, if you know what Building 7 looks like, which I do at this point, having looked at it many times, collapse in 6.5 seconds, you know, you can see the building standing, you know, behind her. It has not collapsed. And yet the BBC, roughly, I think, 25 minutes ahead of its actual collapse, the announcer back in London actually reported it as having collapsed.
Yeah,
and there it is, standing up behind her. And then mysteriously, just 5 minutes before the building actually does collapse, the link from the studio in New York to the BBC headquarters back in London went dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the questions have been asked in the wake of this coming out. It was found on an archive, like a 9/11 archive. The BBC claims that they lost all the footage from that day and that they would like to get a hold of it. I mean, it's sort of it's hard to believe. But, you know, basically the questions have been asked that how is it that who told them this? What is the source of that reporting, and why would they feel confident about going forward with a report? And then what led to this, you know, this the collapse or the cutting off of the reporter in New York?
Yeah.
Why did that satellite feed go dead at that time?
Right. Yeah. It is phenomenal, and it's an eye opener that really it defies the common knowledge or the mythology that we have been fed. And we need answers. How did they have this report that Building 7 was going to fall 23 to 25 minutes before it actually happened? Why did they report it in the past tense with the building standing? I mean, you can understand their confusion. Maybe they didn't know. And they had been fed a report that somehow was released just a bit prematurely.
Well, what's interesting is that we do know that people on the street were told that it was coming down in advance of its coming down. So you have that. And so there's a lot of pieces of information that really need to be tied together. And again, this brings us back to, well, who's going to do that? And who's going to connect the dots and draw the reasonable conclusions and issue subpoenas where necessary and force the government to declassify the documents they've overclassified and hidden away from the American people?
Yeah.
You know, and really, now that the gavel's in the hands of a Dennis Kucinich and Mr. Waxman, Representative Waxman, you know, there's a chance that we can get to these documents, that we will see them someday, and it's going to take, you know, it is going to take further pressure and encouragement and thanks and, you know, to people like Dennis Kucinich, you know, for his courage and standing up and saying, I'm starting to dig. Now, I don't think he's said that he's going to do a full-fledged investigation, but he's going to crack the lid, and, you know, who knows what he's going to find out and what might come to light in hearings, hopefully before this next September 11th.
Yeah. And, Kyle, just about a minute remaining. Any other developments in the search for truth about 9/11?
Well, you know, I just heard about a group of pilots that have raised some issues about some data that they were released from the National Transportation Safety Board that raises questions about, and there's discrepancies, you know, to use the word that Dennis used the other day, you know, relative to the flight path of whatever it is that hit the Pentagon. You know, that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there's that. This is a new group of many former pilots that have tens of thousands of hours in the air. I just read that. There's always seems to be, every week, there seems to be a new film and documentary. A colleague of mine came out with a film called Improbable Collapse, and Mike Berger.
Mm-hmm.
Our film, 9/11 Press for Truth, is doing quite well. It's rising up the movie meter rankings at the independent media database, imdb.com. And actually glad to say that it's well above Kevin Costner's narrated film on Native Soil, which
mm-hmm.
is more of a whitewash than anything else.
And your film's still available at your website, 911pressfortruth.com?
Yes, it is. You can go to our store there online and order the DVD. We anticipate it being released overseas in Europe, and we're in a few festivals. And there's an increasing amount of interest in it. We're hoping even to get it into theaters this year, because
mm-hmm.
There is some talk now of a new edition of Final Cut of Loose Change, which takes a different tack from their previous cuts. And I think that that will stimulate the debate again. And,
well, I'm looking forward to that. You know, I don't find it without problems, but yes. Press for, you know, the loose change, I think, was a very powerful piece with a lot of compelling segments to it. Well, Kyle, thanks again for your work. Thanks for updating us today. And please keep us posted, will you?
Will do. Thanks so much, Peter.
And I'll just say in closing here that if Congressman Kucinich does move forward with these types of hearings, maybe he's the one who will call Sybil Edmonds and permit her to be ungagged and tell us what she's really dying to tell the American people about what she knows.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hope that happens. Thank you, Kyle Hintz.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to your phone calls in the next segment. Lines are open for you. And if you want to comment about this, about Iran, about the other issues we've talked about, health care, and also the state water wars here in California, grab a line and let me know what you think. Lines are open for you right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Thank you very much, and let's take a look at the very latest. We're going to look at, we need to take a look at Carmel Valley Village, Laurel's Grade at Carmel Valley. We do have a road that is a solo vehicle. Hit the hillside over there. CHP now on the way to the scene there. Also want to take a look at Aromas 129 at Rogie Lane. Solo vehicle has been cleared out of the lanes. Minor injuries reported as well. And a quick look at Monterey, northbound 1. This is just before Mundrus. We have a two-vehicle crash. It's located in the center divide and Los Gatos Black Road at Guest stalled car blocking one of the lanes there. Highway 17 looking pretty good at one point. We did have a crash report. In fact, we still have a crash report in southbound 17 for El Rancho. An injury, a crash, an overturned vehicle blocking the right lane. Emergency crews are on scene there. That support brought to you by Great America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and it is not necessary to refer to Mr. Collins as Mr. Collins. But don't call me Pete, okay? But I want you to call me. Despite what you may decide to call me. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And don't wait till the end of the hour when we have to leave you dangling because we run out of time, all right? Surprise, surprise, surprise. For at least a year before the 2004 Republican National Convention, teams of undercover New York City cops traveled to cities across the country, Canada, and Europe to conduct covert observations of people who planned to protest at the convention. From Albuquerque to Montreal, San Francisco to Miami, undercover New York cops attended meetings of political groups, posing as sympathizers or fellow activists, the record show. Welcome to Fascist America. So do call the Peter B. Collins Show, but be aware that the National Security Agency is probably monitoring our telephone traffic. But don't be deterred. Peter in Salinas, Peter V., welcome to the program today.
Good afternoon, Peter B. Collins.
Mr. V., so nice to hear from you.
Yes, I'm sadly calling to comment on the current Pentagon report into the death of Mr. Pat Tillman.
Yeah.
Sad as it is, and 3 years late, I might add, adding to the litany of lies from 9/11 forward that this administration shamelessly tells its citizens and the families of the fallen soldiers in this misbegotten conflict in the Middle East.
Well, and about the only thing so far that they've gotten right is the correct term is fratricide. Friendly fire is an offensive term to many soldiers. And I give credit to Mike Honda. He's a congressman from South Silicon Valley who, of course, Pat Tillman came from San Jose, attended high school there. And he has really been unbending in demanding the truth. And he went ballistic because on Friday, the Defense Department released or leaked portions of the updated report about the death of Pat Tillman without sharing it with the family first.
You know, Peter, it's just even hard to get my mind around the article that I've read where senior military leaders, quote, might not have worked hard enough to get all the facts of what happened, and yet right within that same report, dozens of soldiers immediately around the scene of the shooting and the immediate supervisors knew what had happened. And again, they're blaming this on procedural errors, procedural mistakes.
Yeah.
And no charges or suggested punishments will be made.
Well, mistakes were made, but nobody is responsible.
Yes.
That's the Bush way. You know, he cops to that, well, I accept responsibility for our problems in Iraq. And then you ask him what they were, and he comes up with really trivial responses. We got Alberto Gonzalez accepting full responsibility for the U.S. attorney's flap, but he's holding on to his job. And he's flat out lied to the United States Senate, and everybody knows it. And the media and the politicians are sitting back and just saying, oh, that's just business as usual. Whoever thought he was telling the truth to begin with?
Oh, you know, Peter, it's in between depression and disgust. It doesn't seem to end. It just seems to be a conveyor belt of filth they seem to be trying to feed us. And the last thing I would like to leave you with, Peter, because I'm sure there's other people with the thank God for the Peter B. Collins, you know, First Amendment hour, that's all we get, is I would like to quote Kevin Tillman, if I might.
Please.
Quote, somehow the same incompetent, narcissistic, virtuous, vacuous, malicious criminals are still in charge of this country. That is Kevin Tillman last fall writing a scathing criticism of the administration and the Iraq war on truthdig.com.
Very well put. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Good to hear from you today. 888-5-PETER-B if you want to join in. We go live now to the office of Congressman Mike Thompson in the Eureka area, and Alex is on the line. Hello, Alex.
Hi.
How's it going there?
Oh, I'm good. I had absolutely no idea that I was going to be put on the air. I was just passed a note through the window with your number on it, and these people that I was working with doing some activism here at the regional office are occupying his front room, but since it's past 5, I guess they've apparently locked the door from both sides, so I'm stuck on the outside of the window here.
And are they locked inside?
That's what they're telling me, yes.
Uh-huh. How many people?
There is 6 people, and Thompson's representative is coming over now to open the shade, though he's closing the shades, actually, so I can't see in.
I see. Is there anyone on the inside with a cell phone, Alex?
There is not, actually.
Okay. All right.
I
got about 20 seconds. Anything else you want to add to the situation?
Well, I guess it's just important. No, not really. I hadn't even thought of any comments. Like I said, I had no idea what I was calling. They just wanted me to call and represent them and tell you and everybody who's listening, just get some publicity about the event.
Got it. Got to run. Thanks.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls.
That's right.
Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Two lines open in the free speech zone. One's for you at 888-5-PETER-B. Welcome to the Torture Nation, these United States, of course, where torture is legal based on the Stalin Act, as I call it, the Military Commissions Act that Bush et al. Passed. They jammed it through the Congress in front of last November's elections. Just had to have it. Had to have it. Item, a sharp debate within the Bush administration over the future of the CIA's detention and interrogation program has left the agency without the authority to use harsh interrogation techniques that the White House said last fall were absolutely necessary in questioning terrorism suspects. So the sordid debate, the wrangling over, is waterboarding torture? Or is it just like, diving into a glass of water? And is it torture to make somebody stand for a day and a half? Is it torture to force them to listen to ear-splitting Ted Nugent records 24 hours a day? I think so. And as the U.S. wrangles over its torture policy, an interesting showdown is developing at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Australian David Hicks is one of the better-known detainees there. He's accused of, attending an Al-Qaeda training camp. Let me find it in the story here. He's charged with providing material support for terrorism. He trained with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, but officials said he did not fire any shots in the war there. There was initially broad hostility to Hicks in Australia, but a movement has built support for him, a one-time kangaroo skinner. And what's interesting is his U.S.-appointed military defense lawyer is Major Michael Mori, M-O-R-I. And Mori has been outspoken in attempting to properly defend this man and in challenging the kangaroo courts set up under the Military Commissions Act, which have produced these jaundiced and incredible so-called confessions from people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others. And so I'd like you to watch this one. David Hicks and Major Michael Mori, his defense attorney. Because I think this could be a watershed moment at Guantanamo Bay. It looks like a trial is going to begin later this month. But now they're trying to remove the chief prosecutor. And so that proceeding may occur as soon as today. And we'll find out in the news the next couple of days exactly how this proceeds. We go to the phones, and it looks like Paul is checking in from Eureka. Hello, Paul. You're on the air at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi. Nice to talk to you.
Good. Where are you right now?
Well, we're in Thompson's office on 317 3rd Street,
mm-hmm.
and we've been occupying it since about noon.
Okay.
And we're waiting patiently to get busted, but it hasn't happened yet.
And describe the scene for me, Paul. How many people, and are you seated comfortably reading some outdated magazines?
Well, actually, we've been talking nonstop since we got in here. Basically, I don't know what's happening to the poor staff people that have to listen to this, but we've gone from economics, politics, to metaphysics, and right around, but it's all been tied to our major crisis that we're dealing with right now, which, of course, is the one that's happening in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Thompson was on our program about 2.5 weeks ago, and he expressed admiration for people like you who are willing to take time out of your lives to lobby him on a very important issue like this. Do you get that same vibe from his staff members?
No, all the staff members are wonderful. They're very patient, and they try and stay with us as much as they can, although they're pretty bored, I think, with our trip. Because we actually have come to kind of a conflict situation with them in the sense that we have two different points of view. They think they're on our side, and we think they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But Thompson himself has been, you know, he's been a mixed experience, you might say.
Uh-huh.
But I think he's identified us as an interest group. We're the peace interest group, and so I think he can deal with us in that kind of like modular terms.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he said on our teleconference we had a couple weeks back, he was talking about he can't wait for the mass movement, but I'm afraid the mass movement may be at his disadvantage now, because the Democrats have definitely put themselves in a disadvantaged situation when they funded the war with this $124 billion worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way you can get past that. You can't get past the idea that we're paying for the war. And now I think it's unfortunate for the Democrats, because Clinton killed a million Iraqis with his blockade,
right.
And now with this with something like 750,000 people being, according to the Lancet style of analyzing who's dying in Iraq,
right.
750,000 of people have died in Iraq, civilians. Now we're going to be adding how many more? Maybe another 250,000, probably in the next 6 to 8 months or 12 months, or however long this is going to last. For 18 months, I think, is how far they want to go with this. This never land of getting out of Iraq.
Now, Paul, what do you say to this? Because I understand your objections to the bill, and I don't really have a quarrel with that. But this bill is not going to become law. The Senate will water it down, and whatever is presented to the president, he has indicated pretty strongly, and I think we can take him at his crooked smile, that he will veto it. So I think that this, in one sense, is bad legislation because, as you point out, it does give the president an extension of his war in Iraq and $100 billion to burn. And you correctly point out the true cost in human life, and I'm glad you focus on Iraqis. Most people are kind of jingoistic and just look at the death toll for Americans.
Right.
At the same time, I believe that this is an interesting first step toward trying to galvanize the Democrats into action. And my take is that they will ultimately realize that they can't negotiate with Bush, and this is an attempt to negotiate. It offers him, you know, benchmarks and timelines, and if certain goals aren't achieved, then actions have to be taken. And so it is a kind of negotiation, and I believe he is a guy who cannot be negotiated with, and that they will ultimately recognize that. But as you point out, a lot of dying will occur before they come to terms with it.
Well, this movement began, really, I think, with Pelosi saying that all the important issues were off the table, and the Democrats are determined not to put them back on the table if they can possibly avoid it. So the Democrats have built themselves a position of accommodation to a man who's actually sort of like Caligula, you know, and I can't imagine that it's out of personal fear, although a few people die like Wellstone and so on, but I don't think that they feel personally that they're going to be assassinated like you might have felt in the Roman Empire, but nonetheless, they are accommodating themselves to a man who is essentially the emperor. And it seems like that's crackpot realism from my way of thinking. They need to go to the heart of what's happening here, which is a man has taken over our government as unitary executive who does, I mean, it was sort of funny that they would put the Iran clause into this supplemental bill in which they said that they'd have to get the approval of the Congress to go into Iran, and they took it right out again when the Israelis complained. But, you know, according to my information, in 2003 they passed that very same forbidding him to do the very same thing, and all he did was do a signing statement on it. So what's to stop him from just taking the money and running when he gets this $123 billion? He'll just start taking the money, put it in his pockets, and anything he doesn't agree with, he won't do. I mean, at some point, the Democrats are going to have to confront this man for what he is.
Well, and I agree. And Paul, the one place where I, you know, have a minor disagreement with you is I think that the Democrats are trying to find a center, for their caucus. I think that Pelosi has good intentions and that her ultimate goal is to achieve what we want. And her problem is she has to bring along the weakest members of her caucus, including some of these blue dogs, even you know, Mike Thompson, who voted against the war, and I give him credit for that. But he supports a bill that he wrote that parallels the Obama bill in the Senate, which is non-binding. It is a toothless kind of expression of sentiment. And, so I understand why you want him to take a much stronger position. But I also think that we should exercise some long-term vision here and see if there are ways that we can move Mike Thompson into the Barbara Lee column. That's ultimately...
Absolutely.
That's
ultimately very far. He has to go down a few miles and get into Woolsey's district to find somebody whose politics we could live with. I mean, I do think that even the Woolsey 508 has got very much a limitation in that they have this kind of tortoise in the hare race here where everything is put on for 6 months. When, in fact, a ceasefire is a perfectly reasonable kind of thing to do. I mean, you say we're having a ceasefire. The Israelis do it all the time. Everybody does it. You stop shooting and you leave. But see, that I think that when they don't want to accept that kind of attitude, it's because they don't intend to leave. Mm-hmm. And I wonder whether the Democrats really intend to leave. I mean, Hillary Clinton's going to be the president. She's already said that the national security interests are in Iraq. We can't leave because of national security interests. Well, that's a long phrase for a short word.
All right, but Paul, just the only thing I'll quibble with you there on is that we got a long way to go before Hillary Rodham Clinton becomes president, and a lot of obstacles have to be cleared. I'm not willing to declare her the next president anytime soon.
But take Obama as a person, it's the same. I mean, the bill that Thompson adapted, the 787, was an Obama bill, and it was crafted in order to satisfy the Iraqi study group. Well, that's not exactly what you would say the most advanced part of our society. That's a resource... That's an extractive resource kind of mentality in which has been pointed out that one of the things that the media never talks about is that oil was a key part of their proposals, and controlling oil in an absolute way is what the Iraqi study group was determined that we should do. And they said when they put their group thing together that all their proposals were intertwined and you couldn't take one without taking the rest. So if Obama became their tool, then what hope do we have? I mean, Al Gore, Gore Lieberman, I mean, he's a... I mean, the two front runners are both look like they're going to extend this war so that they have this August 2008 withdrawal, but it's going to be one of these shadow plays again in which both sides will claim to be for peace, and then when the election's over, they'll both go about establishing American empire even more powerfully.
Yeah,
meanwhile,
well, Paul? Hey, Paul, I'm sorry. I've spent a lot of time with you here. I got a bunch of other people holding. Just give me one other quick report. What is the intention of the people there? Are you going to stay there until you get arrested?
That's the intention. Yeah, we're thinking that we have some ersatz lock boxes, and we're sitting in front of a little barrel, a oil barrel that we've more or less hooked up with something. And so we're trying to remind Thompson that there are several ways that you can come to an end in this political realm in this area. One is to be a Boscode, in which you lose your base and your constituent base, and they go to a Peace and Freedom candidate or a Green Party candidate, and you lose to the Republican. Or you can be Riggs'd. And so we're sitting here with kind of a Riggs concept here that a little civil disobedience might go a long way.
All right, Paul. Thanks. Nice to talk to you. A very well-informed individual. Now to Ben in Salinas, who's been holding for a day and a half. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
No habeas corpus, no due process, no constitutional rights. Or am I wrong?
Well, you are correct.
We still don't have habeas corpus.
No, you're right.
Here's what I think we got with this budget thing. Okay, Pelosi has put up, this is the budget with the timeline. Mr. Bush, acting as the collection agency for the Halliburton, Carlyle Group, and the Blackwater Securities, remember, of that $120 billion supplement, $67 billion of it goes to Daddy and Mommy's Carlyle Group Company, $21 billion to Blackwater Securities, which is not committed to the U.S. at all, but to their oil companies where they can kill and do anything with impunity. They can't even be brought before these judges. So Blackwell, and that's all being done with our dime. And now here's the impasse. They said this is the budget with timeline. He says, I'm not going to sign it. He will let the troops die out there knowing that they're running out of weaponry, material, and protection. He will let them literally hang out there to die so he can hang it around the Democrats for the 2008 election. And guess who we're going to get? The machines are being rigged as we're speaking. Jeb Bush and Condoleezza Rice. And if they can just confuse enough of those machines, it'll wind up once again in the Supreme Court, which is already rigged to continue the Bush dynasty. Now, am I wrong, or am I? Do I need to take some psycho meds and get right here?
I'll leave that question dangling there. Thank you, Ben.
Okay, sir.
Appreciate your call today. We're going to take a break here and return for more of your phone calls in the Free Speed Zone. My number, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at the latest. We're going to look at Santa Cruz, southbound 17, just before El Rancho Road. We have an injury crash. An overturned vehicle blocks the right lane. Emergency crews do remain on scene there, so that's causing quite a bit of a backup in the area. Also want to take a look at Salinas, southbound 101, just before Main Street. We have a solo vehicle crash. It is off to the right shoulder. CHP is on scene, and traffic a little bit backed up in the area as a result of that problem. Also, I want to tell you about southbound 1 slows between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound 25 slows from Gilroy and hot to Hollister, so be advised about those particular problems. This report brought to you by Great America. Great America opens this weekend for another season of fun. Adults save $13 with a coupon from participating Carl's Jr. A family of four saves up to $52 at Great America. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Despite the late Friday document dump, Alberto Gonzalez is still our Attorney General at this hour.
Why don't you play the tune, pal? I don't like music. Come on, Peter. You look funny when you're 50.
must be found on the left hand for a while. Sanity Bohemian style. Live your life.
And we're taking your calls in the free speed zone. 888-5 Peter B is our toll free number. We've got Echo Delta, that's Ed in Aptos here on the PBC show. Hello, Ed.
Greetings.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good, other than my internet is down. You know, we have poor radio reception in this area, so I'm forced to stream you to get proper reception.
Oh, okay.
So I'm very deprived, but I have...
But you've got all your cell phone workarounds, that little Sprint patch you use when you're on the road.
Well, that's true. You really don't think of that when you're at home, though. I wasn't in the road mentality. I was in the home mentality.
You must rule the technology and not permit it to rule you.
This is true.
Yeah. So what's on your mind, Ed?
Well, a lot of things. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions. I didn't, because of the aforementioned problems, I didn't get to hear about the candidate that's...
It's Dennis Kucinich. He is chair of a subcommittee under Waxman's Oversight and Government Reform, focused, I think, on domestic issues, Homeland Security, I guess.
Okay.
And he has promised to hold some hearings. We don't know the full scope yet, but Kyle Hentz thinks it's a pretty encouraging sign.
You know, I'd like to talk to a rank-and-file Republican person and just ask him, you know, what the reason was that Bush didn't want to have a 9/11 investigation.
Because he didn't want to distract us from the business of, you know, the monkey business.
True. And then, you know, one of the things that the questions that was never answered was what happened with the follow the money, the people that sold short on the stock market. I never did hear anything about that. Did you?
No. In fact, the 9/11 Commission barely referenced it. I think it was in a footnote in the bestseller that they published.
So, you know, that's a couple of things there.
We've encountered a number of people. There's a guy whose name is not quite on the tip of my lips, but he's been on our show several times, worked for the FAA on the red team. His job was to go in and prove that airport security wasn't working. And he said that it was real easy to do on a routine basis. Anyway, he had key information that he volunteered to the 9/11 Commission. They interviewed him in private, but never asked him to testify in public. And he had colleagues in a similar position. Kyle Hentz also referenced Able Danger and other alerts that were received by our government in one form or another and for murky reasons never acted upon. And Kyle also made mention, this won't surprise you, that once again, you know, we have a situation where no one has been held accountable for the clear mistakes or omissions or commissions of 9/11.
Another question is how a Republican can live with themselves. I really don't.
When you get
some straightforward questions.
Ed, when you get those tax cuts and have all that money to spend, you feel real good about living with yourself.
Well, I used to be in the position to get tax cuts. Now
now you're with us, the little people,
exactly.
Waiting for it to trickle down.
I never lost sight of my roots. I realized that I was working for an hourly wage and that reason I got it was because of my union and not because of my good looks.
Yeah. Well, I've seen you, and I understand.
Well, you're no jewel yourself.
I'll take that.
Pot calling kettle black.
10-4, good buddy. Brian in New Hampshire, welcome to the Peter B. Show. Hot off your appearance on the Tom Hartman Show earlier today.
Okay. Yeah, Peter. Talking about the Pat Tillman. I believe it was a friendly fire incident.
We call it fratricide.
Fratricide. I'm going back over a Common Dreams piece from October 7, 2005 by David Zirin, The Meeting That Never Was, Pat Tillman and Noam Chomsky. You know, Pat was not only a football hero and the pro football player at Arizona State. I believe he was a philosophy major. He read a lot even during the service and the war there in Iraq and Afghanistan. He read a lot of Chomsky, too, apparently. And he was an avid reader whose interest ranged from history books to works of leftist Noam Chomsky, his favorite author.
Mm-hmm.
Tillman had very unembedded feelings about the Iraq War. His close friends, Army specialist Russell Baer, remembered, "I could see it like a movie screen. We were outside of an Iraqi city watching as bombs were dropping on the town. We were talking. And Pat said, 'You know, this war, it's so effing illegal.' And we all said, 'Yeah, that's who he was. He was totally against Bush,'" end quote. With these revelations, Pat Tillman and the PR icon joins WMD and Al-Qaeda connections, etc., on the heap of lies used to sell the Iraq War. And also talking about, you were just talking about 911 and about the people selling short. Also, about that 911 investigation, I wish could Representative Kucinich much success there. But remember, on September 10th, 2001, then Secretary Rumsfeld admits that $2.3 trillion is missing from the Pentagon at the September 10th, 2001 press conference, and we never got any. All those records were apparently supposedly destroyed by the attack of the next day.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions, particularly about Rumsfeld and how he reacted on September 11th itself. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. Want to squeeze in Jake. Jake, you've been hitting me at the end of the hour. I'm sorry. I got another 35 seconds. You got it. Go ahead.
Okay, Peter B., real quick. Speaking of 9-11, the latest piece of news for those who know about the movie Loose Change, the final cut of that movie is going to be coming to the theaters. And apparently the Dallas Mavericks basketball team owner, Mark Cuban, will be putting up the funds for that distribution.
Good for him.
And that's right. And apparently Dylan Avery, who did the narration, he's a filmmaker.
Yeah.
The final cut, guess who's going to do the narration? Charlie Sheen.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so this will be something that will go out all around the country for people who haven't seen it yet. They can go on to online at loosechange911.com. You can download the movie for free and decide for yourself. And for those peace protesters out there, keep up the fight. And if anybody wants to express their support, you can call Congressman Mike Thompson's Eureka office at 707-269-9595.
You got it, Jake.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's Ready?
That's right. Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's Ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A new development today in the investigation of the U.S. attorney firings. CBS News reporter Stephanie Labadaka says one of the people subpoenaed by the Senate Judiciary Committee says she will refuse to answer questions.
The decision by a top official to invoke her Fifth Amendment protections before Congress is not welcome news here at the Justice Department. That official, Monica Goodling, is counsel to the Attorney General, and she was a key player in the firings of the U.S. attorneys. This announcement follows Friday's release of new emails that show the Attorney General attended a one-hour meeting on the firings in November, just 10 days before the dismissals.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, which defends the decision by that official to take the Fifth. Spokeswoman Dana Perino says it's unfortunate that a public servant no longer feels they'll be treated fairly when testifying before Congress. She says Gonzalez and the President want Justice Department officials to cooperate, but that their constitutional rights must be respected.
The White House continues to stand by Attorney General Gonzalez. David Hicks, an Australian kangaroo skinner held at Guantanamo Bay more than 5 years, has agreed to plead guilty to a charge of providing material support for terrorists. Hicks is the first suspect prosecuted under the new military tribunals. He was accused of fighting for Al-Qaeda during the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan. Doctors might think twice from now on about angioplasty to clear clogged arteries. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says a major new study found that in many cases, drugs did the job just as well.
Researchers from Canada and throughout the United States followed over 2,200 patients who had symptoms of heart disease but were considered stable. Half of these low-risk patients received stents and medication. The other half were given only medication. To the surprise of the researchers, both groups fared about the same. Approximately 19% had a heart attack or died within 7 years.
Angioplasty or even bypass surgery remain the preferred treatment for patients who are having heart attacks or have worsening symptoms. Dr. Jeffrey Moses is head of interventional vascular therapy at New York Presbyterian Hospital.
the clear message here is you have to treat the individual patient, and it's for the individual patient to work with his or her physician and design a therapy that's suitable for them.
Another study out today seems to confirm the benefits of aspirin therapy. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has